Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Retirement. We talk about a lot of things on this podcast, but the one constant in our lives at this time of life is retirement, or dreams about it. There is a lot of discussion around the financial prep for retirement, but there are a lot of other preparations you really should be doing too. My guest today is a certified professional retirement coach. Jennifer's first clients, informally, were her own parents. That process made her understand the importance of retirement planning and led to her getting her certification so she can help all of us. I really appreciate how Jennifer emphasizes that each one of us is unique and that there is no single path to follow to or through retirement. I want to remind you about the new feature we have before we get started. At the website, boomwithabang.com, I've created a resource section. You can look up previous episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests, some interesting courses and offerings, lists of jobs and philanthropic possibilities. Also, if you're curious about the life of a house and pet sitter, I'm journaling my journey there too. Let's meet Jennifer now. As I sat down to prepare for this conversation with today's guest, it occurred to me how programmed into our brain age 65 is. It's been the symbolic retirement age for as long as I can remember. Well, sometimes symbolic retirement, sometimes forced. It's the age we associate with the onset of our old age pensions. Two more thoughts now. Am I using the royal we? Do you agree with my age association? And can we change that name from old age pension to something else? I know some old people. They're in their 80s and 90s. At 65, most people nowadays are active and busy and involved. They're certainly not old, which is perhaps how I segue into introducing today's guest. Jennifer helps people as they transition to retirement from their traditional work life. That's directly off her website. You'll notice she doesn't say she helps 65-year-olds transition. She suggests so many things that people today leaving the 9 to 5 might be considering, which also sounds like one of my reminders to people looking at this transition. It's less what you're retiring from and more what you're retiring to. She calls it proactive retirement planning. Let's get started. Jennifer Rovette, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you. It's so great to be here today.
I'm just going to jump right in there. You're a young woman. How did you come to be helping older people figure out what's next when they leave the 9 to 5?
Thank you for thinking I'm a younger woman. So I've been working with retirees for close to 15 years in a certain capacity in my life, and it was through working with these retirees that I noticed like there was some need for a bit more planning for their retirement. Even just working with my own parents, I saw them struggling a little bit as they were nearing their retirement and what they were going to do. And I've just always been interested in the baby boomer generation. I think it's a fascinating generation in terms of them being, breaking down barriers, leading the way for so many things. And for retirement, it's no different for this generation. So I wanted to see if I could start my own business. And seeing that there was this need, I looked into retirement coaching and there was such a thing. And I got myself certified and started my own business. And it's been great. And I love it. And I've worked with so many interesting clients. And it's really nice just to help people get to where they want to go and what they want to do in retirement. So I'm happy to help people.
Well, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today because I mentioned pensions, but there's getting to be a greater realization that there's so much more to retirement planning than just the money.
Absolutely. Yeah. So traditionally, that was what retirement looked at, was just the finances. And we've been ingrained to think from a young age that all you need to do is save enough money for retirement and you'll be fine. But That's not entirely true. And it's only one part of the puzzle when it comes to retirement. So, yes, you need to have your finances in order and have enough money to sustain your life. And retirement could be a long time for many people. So, you definitely need the money. But the other part of the puzzle is just what are you going to do with all your time? And how are you going to keep active and fulfilled and happy and not just live a life where you're doing nothing? Because that's no good for anybody. So, yeah, so there's a lot more to it. There's the social aspect, there's the health aspect, the emotional aspect is big for many. And, for some, it's the spiritual aspect as well.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that April was my retirement, my financial piece. Like the whole month, I had an American, a Canadian, a financial therapist, and then a succession planner. So we're not going to talk money today. I often say that too many people in their 40s, 50s, 60s identify themselves by their job titles. I'm a teacher, I'm an engineer, I'm a sales clerk, even I'm a mom, I'm a house a homemaker. They rarely say, I'm a funny woman who loves to knit and I'm determined to be able to run 10K by this time next year. They don't identify as that person. Now, you talk about redefining identity post-career. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so as you said, a lot of people do identify themselves with their job title. And for many, once they leave that, it is hard for them. They feel, a lot of people are very attached to that title. And what do you do when you leave that role, that career that you've had for so long? How do you introduce yourself and what is going to be your new identity as you move forward into retirement? So that is what I help clients do, is just figure out what is it now that you want to do in your retirement to create that new identity. And so that takes a bit of work for some people. It takes a lot of work, actually. It's not that easy, but it's not impossible either. And you just have to do some deep diving and really figure it out what it is that you want to create. Like, what is that identity that you want? And that, it can be anything. It can be, your identity could be, just helping out others, volunteering your time, being that grandmother and looking after the grandchildren, like that kind of thing. So
I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I want to get into about that. I was wondering, as you were explaining that, I was wondering if it's almost like a V. Thank goodness you and I can see each other because I'm talking with my hands, where you have to scale back that job identity to look at who the person is. As I said, like a funny woman who likes to knit. Like there's more. Like what are you like in your personal life, and then what do you want to become in your next chapter? Is it sort of like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, you're absolutely right. Like, you have to figure out who you are, like, to your core, who are you? And then build that up in a way that, it fulfills you for this next identity, whatever that might be.
This is probably one of those questions you can't answer. Is there like a time frame where people go like, oh my God, okay, yeah, like within a couple of weeks they've scaled back. Okay, this is who I am, and I'm not the engineer anymore. I'm not the teacher anymore. Or can some people take quite a while to sort of let go of that?
I don't think it's a quick fix. It can take quite a bit of time for some people, like months, years before some people figure it out and are comfortable with whatever that new identity might be for them.
Now, would you start that path sort of before they actually give up the 9 to 5? Or is it usually after the 9 to 5 when they identify as this job that they don't have anymore?
Yeah, so I'm happy to work with people before they actually retire and leave their job. I think it's actually a good idea to start before, so you don't hit that day one and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So at least you have a little bit of time leading up to that day where you're starting to think about things that you want to do and how you want to spend your time. And, I'm working with a woman right now who's not retiring for about 8 years, which is a long ways off still. But she wants to get things started, some things put into place in her life, and others I work a couple months before. So it totally depends. And I even have worked with clients who have retired for a number of years, and then they come to me and they need help at that point. So it really depends on the person and where they're at with their situation.
Right. I had a question. Oh, I know, just it's not a question so much as you mentioned the emotional, and it's not something that I really thought about as I was writing my notes. So let's go there so I don't forget. What sort of emotional hurdles or barriers, or you tell me?
Yeah, so that, again, it always depends on the person because everyone's different. But, some people experience emotions of like leading up to it, anxiety, stress, fear. And how do you deal with that as you're getting closer to that day? Others experience emotions full of joy and excitement. And then, the going back to the whole identity situation where you're going to be losing that title, and that brings up a whole range of emotions, especially if you are so tied to that title. So it's just a way to, you really need to recognize those emotions, and that's where a coach is good because we can help you work through those emotions and get you to a good place so you're not feeling, stressed out, unhappy, depressed, whatever the case might be. Because ultimately, for me anyway, I want people to have the best retirement years they can have. It makes me sad when I hear people who are not doing anything, or they're watching too much TV, they're not getting out, because this is your time. Like, retirement really is your time now. Like, you've worked hard in your jobs, your careers, and now there you have this time where you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Well, and I think too, gone are the days when, because we're all living longer, retirement can be 30, 40, 50 years, post job. Now, when you were talking about the emotions, it occurred to me that, because we're saying job title, if someone has been really high up in the company or in their job, so that they're used to, there's just a certain built-in respect and perhaps to a certain extent, a little bit of awe, that's the president or that's whatever. And of course, they're going to leave that part behind as well, because the whatever they do next, those people may not know that they're used to it. And maybe in their next whatever invention, whatever incarnation, it just isn't part of that whatever. Is there a longer transition, or like emotionally speaking, or am I just dreaming?
No, you're absolutely right. There could be. If you're, let's say, the CEO of a big company and then you retire, you're going to be losing, I shouldn't say losing, but you're moving on from so much, that respect that you spoke about, the accountability, the ability to like make high level decisions. And then once that person leaves that job, it's a different path now. It's a different stage of their life. So that can be really hard for some people. And if they are struggling with that, it could lead them down to a very dark path. That's why working with somebody like a coach after that would be really beneficial, I think, just to help them ease into this new next stage of their life.
As you were explaining that, I recently interviewed someone who works with mentoring placements. So that, because you're the professional going in, I mean, professional, big picture, and you're helping somebody learn something, then, you still maintain that, even though as a mentor you're not getting paid, but at least you can maintain some of that
Yeah, no, mentoring's a
something.
fantastic way to, keep yourself relevant, have that, keep that feeling of being needed almost. Yeah, there's so many things you can do in your retirement years to satisfy that need.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that. Now, the other thought was that, after we've been in a job, which is less and less common nowadays, but some of my generation have been in their job for decades, 20, 25, 30 years. Sometimes that's where you make your friends.
Absolutely.
And, when you leave that behind, if they're still working and you're not, then sometimes those friendships are hard to maintain, and there's certainly no, water cooler talk. There's no go out for lunch or, get together after work for, a drink or whatever. Making friends at an older age can be more difficult.
Yes.
What is there anything that you sort of recommend, or is there like how
Well,
do people do that?
I first, figure out what type of person they are. If you look at people who are, let's say, extroverts, they love to go out, they love to be around people and, always on the go because that's what gives them their energy. But on the opposite side, you could be an introvert and not feel so comfortable being in those situations. So you really have to gauge what is their comfort level. But there's so many things you can do to make friends. Even just trying out some exercise classes like yoga classes. You get to know the people in the classes, maybe build some friendships. I met one of my best friends now at my spin classes that I used to go to. I used to belong to a small boutique gym. And because I would see her all the time and we just talked and talked, and it just turned into this lovely friendship. And there's other things you can do to try and meet people, like get involved with some activities, your local, going to your local community center. There's lots of different courses there, classes. There's all sorts of meetup groups. You could take a course, perhaps, like actually going to like a university in Toronto and taking a course. You might get to know some people in the class. Yeah, and just really building on the friendships that you do have, and keeping in contact with those who are your friends.
And what I heard too, what you were saying is like if you're picking up a hobby or an exercise class or something at the community center, you've always got something to fall back on for conversation. So it becomes easier to talk to people. It's not like, oh, what did you do or how many kids did you have? It's like, oh man, I'm having real difficulty with this pottery or something, and that sort of conversation. You reminded me actually when you talked about your spin class, I still lead a seniors exercise class. And I just did it, like I came from there to talk to you. And I always start with, because they come in and there's 20 women in this class, and they're all mostly in their 80s and 90s, some in their 70s. And of course, they talk, 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 talk. So I usually drop into my instructor voice and it's good morning, really deep and loud. And most of them start laughing and they stop and they pay attention. And just this morning, I had started the music and I just sat there tapping one toe watching these two women because they were so into the conversation. And the whole room was laughing. And they still didn't know because they were so engaged in the
That's
conversation.
funny. Yeah.
And it's just so lovely to see that. And I've been with this group for a long time, and as they become widows, they're back within a week because they know it's a safe place. They know
Yeah.
there's other women who have gone through this. Yeah, it really is a really solid part of what they're leaning into as they,
Yeah.
grow into their 90s.
Yeah, speaking of widows, like my father passed away last fall,
Oh, sorry.
and my mom joined a grievance group actually down in Florida this past winter, and she made some really great friends from that group because they were all widows. They all have this shared experience, and they were all there to support each other. So it was really lovely for her, and she's going back to Florida this winter, and she's excited to go back to the group and see her friends. So you never know where you're going to meet people and what might be around the corner for you. And when What's that saying? When one door closes, another opens. Like, you just have to be open to new experiences and try new things. Like, you just never know what's out there for you and who you'll meet.
As you mentioned that, I did actually talk to a grief counselor recently, and she was saying that, I mean, one of my questions obviously is like, is there anything that's really safe to say or proper to say? And so many people don't have a clue what to say. Whereas if your mom's walking into a group of women who have experienced the exact same thing as, I mean, obviously there's different ways. I mean, there can be sudden death, there can be long, sick, whatever, but they have still lost their spouse of 20, 30, 40 years. So they're not going to say the dumb thing. And I don't mean to suggest that anybody, says a dumb thing on purpose, but sometimes once it's out of your mouth, it's like, I shouldn't have said that, So yeah, it's interesting how, I think a lot of people wouldn't look at grief as a way to make friends, but.
No, it's but it is like, because there's that support and that empathy that everyone has for each other.
Okay, a lot of people made a note there. Okay, so life with a job by necessity gives us routine. Now, no routine sounds idyllic, but that honeymoon usually gets stale pretty quickly. Is there an easy way to sort of, I guess, pick yourself up and say, okay, this isn't working. Like, I need some structure in my life. And is there an advantage to having structure, or do some people get by just fine with like winging it every single day?
Think there's anyone I shouldn't. Well, we're humans and we like structure. Like, that's just how we're kind of wired to have structure. And those that don't have structure, I bet they could wing it. I bet they could. But I know from my experience being a coach that my clients really do want structure. Like, the number one thing they say to me is, I don't know what I'm going to do with my time. I've got all this time now. I don't have to get up and go to work every day. I don't have meetings. I don't have phone calls. What am I going to do? So that's where it's really important to just figure out what it is you want to do, whether that's the activities. Like, I always really encourage my clients to get to be healthy, to exercise. That's the most important thing. Get out there, be social, try new things, like try volunteering. What have you always wanted to do but just haven't had time to do? Or what do you want to, what did you do in the past but then sort of put it to the side because you got busy with your family and your career? So it's really just, even just making up a sort of mock routine, like, here's my life now and this is what I do. What will my retirement life look like? What can I bring from my working life into my retirement life? And fill out a calendar, like, just go through that exercise and see what you can jot down and how you can fill your time. And one of the things I've noticed is, like, retirees are actually really busy. Once you've, maybe passed that honeymoon phase and you're starting to get more into planning and putting that structure in place, like, they're busy. And it's great to see. Like, I know my own mom, it trying to get her to do anything, she's like, oh, I'm busy, I've got this, I've got that. And then she's like, oh, I'm so busy, when I finally do speak with her. And it's like, that's great. Like, gets her up, it gets her out, it gives her purpose every day. And so
I know when I first gave up my 9 to 5, I almost had that pendulum swing so far in the opposite direction in terms of I probably scheduled my entire day, but reminding myself that nothing was written in stone. So it was just, and even now, I mean, I still keep a day timer. I've still got like something tomorrow morning that it's like, okay, it needs to be done. If you've got some time and nothing else is there, go do it. And then, as I say, when I first began, it was like, okay, I actually don't want to do that. And you can dump it off and fill it with something else. But just as I said, I went almost the opposite extreme of no structure to complete structure, and then found middle ground. Now, what I find in my own life with structure, it means I have purpose. So, when I get up in the morning because of my day timer, I always go, okay, yeah, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do that. I've got to do that. I've got some space there. So, oh, I was meaning to do such and such. I can, whatever. Or there's days when I just get home and say, oh, I think I'll lie down for an hour.
Yeah, why not? That's another thing. Like, it's great to have a schedule and it's great to, book your time, but also remember that it's also good to just have a bit of downtime too. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's healthy. Having a nap every day, it's good for you just to have a little rest and recharge. So don't not allow yourself to do that. I had one client and she felt so guilty because like she just allowed herself to read. She's like, and I was like, don't feel guilty. It's wonderful that you can do that now. Reading is so important for your brain. And that's another thing as we age, not just retirement, but just as we age, to keep our brains active, and getting out there, being social is so important, for us to age well. Like one of the things I've been hearing so much in the past, I don't know, year or so, and it's almost like a trend, is this whole idea of community, that we need to have community and it's good for us to be social and active and just get out and see other people and talk with people. So I love that.
People also say, or the pros also say that we should learn a new language, that sort of thing. Just yesterday, somebody asked me if I spoke another language, and I said, I've learned and forgotten Spanish about four times in my life, but the one thing and I'm just going to flash in here to see exactly what it's called. It's a place called Transparent Language, and you can sign up for the word of the day in any language you want. And it's not that I'm learning it, but then my word comes in, I'm pronouncing it. If you follow it back to the website, you get a sentence, you can hear it, like all sorts of things. So you don't have to fully learn a new language, but you can keep practicing in, any language or as many languages as you want. So that's kind of fun. I enjoy doing
Yeah, learning anything new is good for us as we get older.
that.
Language, instrument, I don't know, geography, learn a new subject, like go back to school. Like it's you got to keep your brain active.
And I mentioned purpose, and I guess that grows out of all the things we've been talking
Yeah,
about, does it?
absolutely. Yeah, because if you don't have a purpose in your life, you don't have much, and then you can go down a dark path. Because what happens is you tend to like stay in bed longer, because you don't have anything to get up for, and then staying in your house all day, not getting out, and it can lead to so many, it can lead to disease and, health troubles, weight gain, like all sorts of things. So, if people are looking for a purpose, I would recommend even getting a dog. That dog will give you purpose every day because you've got to get up and walk it, I'd say at least four times a day. So it gets you up, it gets you out. People tend to meet other people when they have dogs because everyone talks to another dog owner. So things like that, like maybe people haven't thought of that, but yeah, you really do need to have some sort of purpose in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about the dog, because my last dog passed away almost 2 years ago, and she was a mid-sized dog. And so, yeah, I was getting out, and the neighborhood I lived in was like steep hills. So if I wasn't going up, I was going down, that sort of thing. And as much as it was like, oh my God, I gotta walk the dog, after she was gone, I had that honeymoon period of like, oh, I don't have to walk the dog today.
Yeah.
Even though I just put some food down for her, that's a whole nother habit thing. Now that I'm house sitting and I'm also pet sitting, is exactly that. You got to get that dog out. You've got to make sure, she does her business and gets some exercise and all that sort of stuff. And as long as you're on the other end of the leash, yeah, you're doing it too.
Absolutely.
Now, some of the retirement plans, and we're talking about purpose, I've heard from people is like excitement over golf every day, or helping with the grandchildren. Now, golf wears thin, as does pickleball. And I know from my own life that my grandchildren are busy as all get out and can't just stop to visit with grandma whenever grandma chooses. So, I think there's got to be something else. Or maybe it's not even something else so much as more things. So it's not that you're ruling out golf or ruling out, being an involved grandma, but make sure there's other things in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Like life can't be all about golf and sitting on a beach because, as you said, that gets tiresome after a while. And unless you live in a place like Florida or Arizona, you can't play golf all year. Certainly not in Toronto, Canada.
Well, I'm on the West Coast, so we can do that here on the island.
not here in Toronto. It's horrible weather today. Yeah, so, it all goes back to what else do you want to do with your time to fulfill it? And golf, I'm sure golf brings a lot of joy to a lot of people, but there's got to be other things too. There's got to be more to life than just golf and have some other purpose and having it, making an impact on others is so powerful. And I think too, you're at this stage in your life where you've worked hard and now you have more time in your life and it is nice to give back to others and make an impact and help whoever that might be, like maybe newcomers to Canada or mentoring a younger generation in the same profession that you are in or working at your local food bank, whatever it might be. But that's a great way to spend your time.
I made a quick list of things like possibilities, I guess, for our demographic, whether it's part-time jobs, entrepreneurship, volunteering, travel. Is there any direction that more people take than others, or is it once again just super individual?
It is individual. I've had clients where their whole retirement, or at least for the next 5 to 10 years while they're still young enough, all they want to do is travel. Others have no interest in traveling. Some love volunteering, others no interest in it. So it really is an individual preference, and nobody can try to mimic someone else's retirement because what one person might like, another person might not. So it's good to talk with other retirees. Like, I think it's a wonderful idea to speak with your friends or family members who are also retired and maybe just get some ideas of things you can do. You learn a lot by talking to other people. So that's a great way. But yeah, it's such an individual thing. It's your life and you got to live it the way that you want to.
Do you find very many people in your practice do go back to work in some form? I mean, when I go to Home Depot, it's all sort of retired fellas mostly, and they're quite happy. They're not only are they chatting with each other, but they're following up instead of being in their own workshop all day. They get to look at all these fun tools and help other people out. And then there's other people that are, hey, this is my opportunity to do that thing I've always wanted to do and become an entrepreneur.
No, I've seen it all. One of my clients, he loved woodworking. So he used that skill and talent to make wooden toys for like the local library or hospital, something like that he did. Another of my clients, she was retired for about 2 years and then she wanted to go back on a contract basis or a project basis. She just needed that. So It depends. It really depends. And I know I've said that a lot. It depends on the person, but it really does.
Yeah, no, it really does. Yeah. The statistics I've heard or read say that the gray entrepreneurs have a really high success rate as well, especially compared with much younger counterparts. And I'm sure part of that is experience, but also they've learned to stick with something. When the going gets tough, they figure out a way to overcome it or whatever. But
Yeah, absolutely. Like young entrepreneurs are great, but then the older ones, they have had probably 30 to 40 years more experience, just life experience than these younger entrepreneurs. So they can bring all that knowledge and experience into this new venture that they're pursuing.
I think our risk, whatever it's called, like our ability to take on risk, we don't take on as much. So that does help reduce the risks often, not always, but
Absolutely.
yeah. Now you do couples coaching.
Yes.
When both people in the couple retire at the same time, it can create a whole new set of issues, shall we say?
Yes.
What do you see and how do you deal with that?
I've seen couples who have retired together, and one of the people in the couple, one of the spouses wants to do everything together, let's say, the other one doesn't. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a challenge. It's new for them to balance their time because now all of a sudden they have so much time together. And you know, there's this saying, I think it's just because we're married doesn't mean we have to have lunch every day together, something like that. So yeah, I've seen couples struggle with that and just finding that balance of still wanting to do things together, but also having some, you know, individual interests. You know, and just because you're retired together doesn't mean you have to do everything together. Personally, I think it's more healthy if couples don't do everything together.
Yeah, I have two separate women friends, and they're acquainted, but this is totally unrelated. They just both happen to do it the same way. Is they had their husband retire, and then 6 months later, they retired. So in those 6 months, their husbands had learned how to, whether it was cook, find a hobby, figure out who else was retired that he could go for coffee with, whatever it is. And then she would retire because oftentimes she had some plans for retirement.
No, that's a great way to do it. And generally women plan more than men.
Okay, I was going to ask that question. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I don't want to generalize between men and women, but this is what I've seen, that just women are better at planning. They're a little bit better at socializing, you know, a lot of men, especially if their career has been everything to them. That's, as you were saying, that's where a lot of their friends are. So then they leave that and they struggle with their social network and making new friends. Whereas women, well, you know, women, I think just like to talk more to people. You know, so it's easier for women in some respects that way. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, it's sort of like letting the husband have a go at retirement first before she joins him. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. You know, because I mean, I think most married couples want to do some things together, but as you said, they're not joined at the hip all of a sudden after 30 years of marriage. That would be a little difficult.
And just even being in the house together for longer periods of time once they retire together, like that can just be a challenge. Like, you know, just figuring that out. And a lot of it is just figuring it out. But one thing that I always say to couples is you've got to continue to communicate, like just over communicate if you have to, and don't let things boil up. If something's bothering you, you want to discuss something, discuss it. Because, you
Well, and I think my next question is actually going to be, you're a
know.
coach, but are you actually sometimes a counselor as well? Because, you were talking about what do we want to do? Like one person may want to travel and the other person says, I don't want to travel. And especially right now, I want to, go to Home Depot and get a job, like whatever it is. So they
Yeah.
really have to start communicating and see if there is a middle ground.
Yeah. And there has to be some compromises too. You know, if let's say one wants to travel, the other one doesn't. Well, what can you do to sort of meet halfway or meet in the middle? You know.
It's funny, I do know a woman who has found a group of women who want to travel. So that's what they do. And, the fellas must do something while they're away, but they're a good fun group and yeah, no, it works.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. Yeah, find friends to travel with, or if you don't have friends, there's all these tour companies that you can join one of those, and that's another great way to meet people and make friends on these tour guides. And yeah, I was just going to say, going back to the therapist, sometimes I do feel like a therapist, especially with the couples. I had one couple, and they kind of bickered on our calls, and I just let them go at it for a little bit before I could like jump in and move on. But yeah, so that was kind of funny. But yeah, sometimes I do feel like, I'm really counseling people, and there is a difference between obviously being a therapist and a coach. I'm trying to help people sort of in the now and moving forward in their lives. I don't need to dig into like their childhoods and figure out who they are now based on their childhood. Like, that's not what I do. I listen a lot. I listen a lot. I let people talk. I ask a lot of questions. So maybe that's where people might share, and they have shared some very personal details with me and intimate details with me. And I'm happy that they're sharing, because obviously, I think I've built some trust with my clients, so that they feel comfortable talking to me about this stuff. But I'm not a therapist. And as
Well,
I
I'm
said,
sure the last place you want to be is in the middle of some argument that's been a thing in their lives for 20 years. And it's like, so it raises its ugly head again, and you don't know that it's been just in there percolating for 20 years. And it just puts you in an uncomfortable position.
for sure. And I'm not trained to deal with
Yeah.
couples therapy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, now for your one-on-one coaching, is there any difference between coaching half of a couple and a single person? So I'm just thinking in terms of, say you've got a woman coming to you and she's married, but the husband is not coming to you. She probably still has to think about her next chapter in terms of being part of a couple, whereas a single person can say, okay, every decision I make is only about me, so I'm going to do this. I'm just wondering whether you see a lot of difference or.
Not a lot of difference. Obviously, the single person, as you said, is making the decisions just for themselves. But if I'm coaching, let's say, a woman and her spouse is still working, she will make decisions that do affect him sort of in the now. With what she wants to do, but generally, I don't see a big difference with that.
We talked about, or I mentioned, the different things that people might do, whether it's part-time job or entrepreneurship, volunteering, travel, whatever. After you've been talking to somebody for, I don't know, a few sessions, and I don't know how you do your job, but is there any way that you can sort of predict which path they're going to go down, or even, I don't know, I hesitate to say suggest, but even suggest that, like, what I've been hearing from you is you may want to think about this. Is that something that, like, can you sort of tell which path they will take after a few sessions?
Well, I not so much like what, yes and no, I guess. Again, I hate to say it depends. Some people, have, after a few sessions, they get it all figured out. They get excited and they're like, I can't wait to do this, and through our sessions, I've learned this about myself. Others need a little bit more sort of coaching from me to sort of help them get there to where they. I listen a lot, and I pick up on things that they say, and I'm like, well, you just said this. Like, what about pursuing something like this? Because you just mentioned it. And some of my clients are like, oh, I never thought of that before. And through those discussions, it could steer them in a certain direction or be able to go down a path.
Yeah, and I guess what the advantage you have with a client is you don't have all of their baggage. So if they over several sessions they refer to something and then they refer to it again and then they refer to it again, they may not realize that. But it's all fresh for you, so it really stands out to you.
For sure it does. Like I've had clients who have just m mentioned something and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, yeah, what you just said, like you've mentioned that a few times. What about incorporating that into your retirement plan? And they're like, oh, that's a good idea. Like, I could do that. Yeah, so it's listening and providing suggestions. I would never tell anybody what to do, but I can certainly make suggestions based on like our discussions that we've had.
Do any of your clients ever sort of come in with all these ideas, and like no retirement savings, which pretty much precludes them from doing a lot of things?
I have to say I've never had that.
Oh, phew.
Yes, which
Yeah,
is
that's
good.
for sure. Now, I think it's safe to say that, and I think you touched on this right at the beginning, that we boomers are changing the retirement game. But I did see one, I think it's an Instagram post that Gen Xers are
Yes.
going to be doing something totally different. Or okay, so I'm a boomer, so I think it's safe to say that I'm not doing anything my parents did. I'm
Right.
still busy and active at my age. But tell me now, like, how will Gen Xers change this up?
Well, what's being said and what I've read is that, like, baby boomers not having the retirement like their parents or grandparents, Gen Xers are also going to have a different retirement from their parents, who Gen Xers' parents would be not necessarily baby boomers. Or Gen Xers are going to have different retirements than baby boomers, in the sense that Gen Xers are going to have not have so much of a hard stop retirement. What's being said is and believed, like through surveys that have been done on Gen Xers, they'll probably continue to, work a bit longer, or they'll look for opportunities to continue working in some respect and still be able to have an impact. So, like maybe that's seasonal work or co contract work. It's being thought that Gen Xers are not going to have like this hard stop retirement. They're going to sort of ease more into it. And Gen Xers have different worries than baby boomers. There was a survey that was just done in the United States, and the number one concern that Gen Xers have is having enough money to support what could be a long life, and if and having enough money for health concerns that. But okay, this survey was done in the United States, so I think it would look slightly different in Canada if the same survey was done.
Well, interestingly, just this morning on the news, and I think most of our listeners know that we're talking before this is going live, is that our Canada Pension Plan apparently has had like this incredible investment boom, greater than any other quarter, like the last quarter, greater than any other quarter in the history. So
Good.
in that regard, it sounds like in Canada, with any luck, things would go on. But as you were also talking about Gen Xers, I think it's fairly common knowledge slash practice that they don't have, most of them don't have the lifelong career. So if you're constantly changing it up every 5 to 10 years, 60, 65 may come and you just keep on switching it up until perhaps health or whatever you go like, oh, I don't want to do anything, like or none of that anymore. Whereas we boomers often had lifelong careers, and 65 is the goal. Get to 65, and then I can dump this 9 to 5, even if it's
Yeah.
a prestigious job. So that alone might mean that retirement is going to be much more fluid for Gen Xers than, or at least the onset of retirement, shall we say,
Yes,
will be much more
absolutely.
fluid.
Yeah. And I've spoken to a lot of I'm a Gen Xer, and I've talked to a lot of my friends, and a lot of them say, oh, I don't think I'll ever be able to retire. And I'm like, why not? Like, why would you say that? And they're like, I'm just never going to have enough money. Like, that's how we think, just that it may not be possible. Now, my friends haven't started like really planning for their retirement yet because they feel like they don't need to. But, I don't, I hope that's not the case. Because as I said, I think retirement can be such a wonderful time in one's life. And to just say, oh, I'm not going to have any money, I can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
And I
think.
think we've got to be careful with this part of the conversation because there is so much in the media and stuff like that
Yeah.
of people like between boomers and Gen X is a blame, blame, blame. And I definitely don't want to go there. Now, our audience is primarily women. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want women to remember when it comes to closing the 9 to 5 chapter that has shaped their last 25 years?
I guess this could go for women and men, but if we're talking to our women listeners, like just be open to lots of opportunities that come your way. Keep active, and keep active for sure. Even just walking, so keeping your health in great shape, and that's exercise and your diet and everything. And just enjoy the time too. And don't be afraid to say yes to something, but don't be afraid to say no as well, because that's the beauty. If you try something, you don't like it, you don't have to do it. And people are like, oh, I don't want to volunteer. And it's like, well, maybe just give it a shot. You might surprise yourself, you may love it. And but if you don't, you can walk away. Yeah, and just stay relevant, keep that brain working. It is a muscle. And just like any other muscle in our body, you got to keep working it. And just be mindful of your life and everything that you do.
Well, and we pointed out right at the beginning that, the finances are definitely important. And I just want to go back there for 2 seconds and remind our listeners that find out how much you're going to be making or bringing in. Because I have seen women that just sort of thought my government pensions are going to let me keep the same lifestyle. And that does not happen.
No.
So be include that in, you need the two coaches. You need the financial coach, and then you need
Yes.
the Jennifer coach. So.
Yeah, and the sooner the better. Start working with a financial advisor, even if you don't think you have enough money, like just start a plan early, and then you'll hopefully get to a good place or feel more confident. And the other thing that I've seen too with women is a lot of the time it's their husbands that look after all the finances and have control over that. And God forbid, or unfortunately, sometimes they pass away, and the women are just left like not knowing what to do, because their husbands looked after everything. So I think it's a good idea for women to educate themselves, empower themselves and learn about finances and take over if they can, or get involved more with their husband if that's the case. Just don't allow yourself to be left in a position where you're just where you just don't know what to do.
Yeah, really good point there. What does coaching look like with you?
Well, it's fun.
Okay, good.
So when I work with clients, Usually I see them for 3 or 6 sessions, and it's on Zoom like this. Back in the day before COVID was good and bad in a way. So before COVID, I would actually go to clients' houses, and it was lovely. I'd have like a cup of coffee. We'd sit in their living room, chat. But the other thing is, it restricted me to only having clients in Toronto. And then COVID hit, and those home visits stopped, and everything went online. So I don't get that personal, engagement or the in-person engagement anymore with my clients, but it's opened up my client base to all of Canada now. And I even had a client in the United States, which was fun. And yeah, so for coaching sessions, we talk for an hour. They're hour sessions. And, it's, as I was saying earlier, it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of the client talking. I'm asking questions, I'm listening. And then I also give each client my workbook. I wrote a workbook last year with a colleague of mine. It's called Reach for Retirement. It's available on Amazon. But when I start working with a client, I will send them the workbook for free. It's part of my package, and there's a number of exercises in the book to go through in these different pillars, like mindset, health and wellness, identity, purpose, social connection. So there's a number of exercises for each chapter to go through, and we can go through those exercises or some of them together or talk about them. But then between sessions, I get my clients to work on certain exercises that, might have come out from our conversations. So like if we are talking about purpose, for example, during our session, I would have them work on a few of the purpose exercises, and then we can go through it on the next session and talk about it.
So, as a coach, I just know that some qualifications you can only teach or only have clients within a certain area, but you can be global then, as long as you can speak the same language.
Yes,
Okay.
I do not speak another language, so.
No, that yeah,
Yeah.
that's okay. Yeah, cool. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, so my website is retirereadycanada.com. All my information's on the website, and you can also follow me on social media.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Threads, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm even on
Now,
YouTube. There's a few videos on YouTube that I did years ago.
okay. Now
Yeah.
you also have a free guide if people
Yes.
want to just sort of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so I do have a free guide. It's just a starting point, just to get you thinking about a few things, what areas you feel like you need more work in. There's a checklist. It is a free guide, but you have to sign up for it. So there's a form on my website to get the free guide, and I'll send it to you. So that's another thing.
Cool. Yeah.
So my website's got it all. So I would
Okay, that's
recommend
great.
checking that out.
And I will remind listeners that whenever any of my guests offer a free thing, yes, you're signing up for it, but you can, if there's follow-up emails, you can unsubscribe at any time. That is a legal requirement.
Yes,
So,
absolutely.
you don't have to worry about putting your name in on a site like that. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure.
You're quite accomplished in the kitchen. You bake?
I do. How do you know this?
Oh, I dig around social media. I've seen all sorts of interesting things, and your comments about them were how much you enjoyed. I don't know, those donuts, there was banana bread, there was, I don't know, but it sounded like you,
Yeah. Well, that was during COVID. I have to admit, I
Oh,
did a
okay.
lot of cooking, experimenting. I did a lot of baking. Yeah, I do enjoy baking more than cooking. Yeah,
Okay.
no, it's fun. I got myself a stand mixer.
Is that something special?
The KitchenAid that mixes things.
Oh, okay, with all different, yeah.
Yes. So that's a life-saving tool if anyone wants something good to help them in the kitchen. But yeah, no, I love baking.
Okay. Do you have a go-to thing?
Well, I was getting really good at the banana bread. I do like making banana bread. And obviously, I love making cookies, any type of cookie, because they're so good.
You and my daughter get along just fine.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So your website link is in the show notes, and all of your links will be on your page at our website. Listeners, where are you on this retirement train track? You know where I am, and I love podcasting, meeting guests. I'm learning all sorts of things. I want you to talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Was there a question I didn't ask Jennifer? Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Retirement today is not like in our parents' day. We're healthier, we want more, we can do so much more. I have a saying that this granny's off her rocker. Share this episode and then you can get off your rocker with a friend. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button on your favorite podcast platform, and that helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Jennifer Rovett, thank you for being my guest today and really motivating us to plan and design this next chapter of our life. It's so important.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it immensely. And good luck to all. Good luck to all your listeners, and maybe I'll hear from you soon.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Then we'll have an update of all the listeners. That's great. Have a great rest of week.
You too.